Monday. We all know that. Well, it might be Tuesday for some people, depending on where you live. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani, and you are the ones who drive the show, so we're looking forward to hearing from you today. And Debbie, I hope and pray that you and Marty had a splendid weekend.
We did.
Okay, there you go.
Very productive. Very productive. Good. We cleaned house. We got rid of stuff in the garage. We cleaned the backyard, you know.
Wow. Just feel like a new home.
It does feel like a new home, yeah? It does. And then in Arizona, it just gets dirty and dusty again in a matter of a minute.
Hours.
How about you? Did you have a productive weekend?
Yeah. It was relatively quiet. Did some stuff, Take Two email, and went to the gym a couple times, and got a little bit of extra rest. So I am ready to go here in a new week. And we are talking about, Debbie, I think, something today that just about every one of us can relate to, I think.
No regrets.
You always say that. Yep.
Do you know why I say that? Because I think it's wasted. It's just wasted. If you go back and think about, you know, you can't redo the past. You can't do that. I mean, so many wise people and saints have said that. You cannot redo, you can't go over the past. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, Saint, canonized by John Paul II, French saint, Saint Rose Philippine Duchenne, okay, said this, and she's a great saint, you guys. If you haven't checked her out yet, please check out her life story. She says, "Do not look back to the past, nor forward to the future. Claim only the present, for it holds God's will." That's why I say no regrets, because you just got to keep resetting and staying, I don't know, staying in the moment. That's what I think anyway. Maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's immature.
Well, there's also that famous saying, begin again, begin anew, begin today. What's in the past is in the past. And so today we want to talk about regrets and things that we are maybe still living with, maybe still carrying around, especially things that we feel that we cannot forgive ourselves for, because God always forgives. The church always forgives through the sacrament of reconciliation. We sometimes don't forgive. And Debbie, when we talk about forgiving those who have sinned against us, in a sense, we need to forgive ourselves, because when I commit a sin, I'm committing an act against myself, in a sense. So, but we just can't hold on to those things. We have to cut those loose.
Look at the Lord's Prayer. Would you want to describe why this show came about, because of our wonderful listener who brought up about praying the Lord's Prayer and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? I mean, it's really an act of the will, of forgiving one another, forgiving ourselves. I mean, it's a real practice that we must really perform on a regular basis.
Yeah, this topic was suggested by one of our listeners. So, Janetta, if you're listening, this is your topic, so you better call.
Yeah, really.
But, friends, it's your show every day. But today, it's really, really your show, because one among the Take Two family suggested this topic about living with regrets, self-forgiveness. Do you struggle with letting yourself off the hook, you know, letting yourself go, forgiving yourself and moving on? Here's the number, 833-288-EWTN, and those letters stand for 3986. 888-833-288-3986.
You're tricking us on a Monday. Okay, can I share a couple things real quickly? It's 1 month away from the pilgrimage, one month, and we've got people calling up and getting their blocked rooms and everything, so it's exciting. We're going on a pilgrimage to Stockbridge, Massachusetts, to the Shrine of Divine Mercy. By the way, I looked it up last night, Jerry, and looked at the 102 pictures. It was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to get there. And we're also going to the Shrine of the North American Martyrs. Can't wait to go there as well. And it's August 15th. So, folks, if you want information, email us at take2@ewtn.com. And one other thing, Jerry, if I may, today is, remember I talk about my aunt, who's a Dominican sister. Her name is Sister Carmel Lavolsi, and she is in her 90s. And if she's listening, happy birthday. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday. And thank you so very much for introducing me to the guardian angels and really getting me started on that. And you know, our friend Father McTague, who's a radio host on the Station of the Cross, he knows my aunt very well. And
isn't
same thing.
Funny?
Yeah,
small
it's
world.
A small world.
Mm-hmm. Well, phone lines are filling up, and that's a good sign. We want to hear what you have to say. You don't have to go into all the details of things that you maybe regret or you know, holding against yourself right now, but let's just talk about coming to a better place, coming to the place that Jesus wants us to be. And as Johnette Bankovic-Williams would say, Debbie, living life abundantly. She signs off her program every day. May the abundant life be yours. And Debbie, can't have that abundant life if we keep ourselves in chains and imprisoned for things that we may have done in the past.
Well, and actually, I caught the end of her show today, which was phenomenal, about consecrating ourselves to Jesus through Mary. And folks were calling in. But she, at the end of her show, she closed with, you know, emphasizing how we have to live in the present moment. God is in the present moment. It's very important. And we put ourselves in the past and we ruminate about the past. It can really keep us down, Jerry, and it keeps us stuck. Wouldn't you say, Jerry, if you took a second right now, Jerry, and just focused on your past, everything from the moment you were 7 years old all the way up until now, it's hard to move forward, right?
It would be especially hard for me. So
me too. I think everybody, you know.
But let's have a conversation about this. Why is it so hard sometimes? God forgives, like I said, we forgive other people fairly easily, hopefully. Sometimes it takes a little bit of effort. But then we look ourselves in the mirror and we say, now there's one more person I need to forgive or shed a regret or something. And that could be so very, very difficult. Sometimes we feel like we're not worthy of forgiveness. Maybe that's why we don't forgive ourselves. What is the reason? Let's talk about this. 833-288-3986.
And our friend Skippy from Boston weighed in and said, only the present moment is precious to me. The past I must entrust to God, from St. Faustina.
There you go.
That's the way to do it. Worry is useless. I'll tell you what, worrying about the past, I mean, what's it going to do? You can't change anything. I mean, you can't go back. Our minds, though, tend to go back there, Jerry, because when we fail, don't you think it just sticks out in our brain, and it's hard for us to even imagine a God that could forgive us for so many things that we've done to offend him, right? But his mercy, we have to have trust. We have to move away from worry and get completely into trust, like St. Faustina taught us to do.
Yeah, and I was looking up the basic definition of regret before the program. Feel sad, repentant, or disappointed over something that has happened or been done, especially a loss or a missed opportunity. Folks, they're in the past. There's nothing we can do about it. Have you moved forward? Maybe you had some regrets, and you've been able to say, you know what? It's not worth it. It's holding me down like a ball and chain around my ankle here. Maybe you've come to that place of self-forgiveness. 833-288-3986. Share, because there are so many of us. And I say us because I have trouble with this too.
Me
so,
too.
Debbie, so many people listening, you could teach right now. 833-288-3986.
Take two with Jerry and Debbie. This is your show. This is where you call in. You are the teachers here. We listen all about your takes, your wisdom, your experience about the subjects we introduce. And today we're talking about forgiving ourselves and about past, you know, regrets and things that just we hang on to as human beings and that can really weigh us down. So please share your experience of this. Help us, will you? At 1-833-288-3986. And just real quickly, if you can't physically get to Mass on a daily basis, I think the next best thing, Holy Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel in Irondale, Alabama, every morning, 8 Eastern time. Okay, pretty amazing to have the radio, to have the Mass broadcasted on the radio and on television. Wow, I can tell you this. My 88-year-old mother has EWTN television on 24 hours a day. In fact, the lady who's in the room next to her, she has it on 24 hours a day as well. So you got EWTN playing all throughout the house, which is beautiful. You hear the Mass every day.
It is great. Mm-hmm. So 8 a.m. Eastern on many of these same stations. Thanks, Deb. 833-288-3986. We have a phone line that is still open. It could be occupied by you. Another quick thing, Debbie. Sometimes we can forgive ourselves, but then we have to live day to day with certain circumstances created perhaps by something we've done. You know, what I mean by that is maybe a relationship.
Give me an example. Yeah.
Well, yeah, like a relationship. You know, maybe we did something to damage or end a relationship, but we still have to see that person at work, or, you know, it's a family member or something like that. So let's talk about
awkward.
Maybe. Yeah, awkward, but, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, let's see how we can maybe talk about coming to a place of peace regarding that as well. So anything that you're holding on to, let's talk about it.
What do you always say? I love the wreckage that is me, right?
Yeah.
Right? You say that. And I love that. I tell you what, Jerry, that statement alone has really changed my outlook in life. Because when you embrace all the elements, see, I could feel the Holy Spirit on that one as soon as I even said it. It's just so amazing. When you accept that you're just kind of, you know, broken, wounded, things have happened to you, things you've done, you could have been better. You know, when you accept all those aspects or those facets of the human condition and you keep picking up and trying to do better and better, you know, you can get through it and you can start to feel good about yourself in a healthy way, not a prideful way, Jerry. So I thank you again for sharing that with all of us.
Okay. I'm going to have that matted and framed on my wall one of these days. I love the wreckage that is me. Okay.
We should get t-shirts. Let's do
We're going to find out your takes on regrets, self-forgiveness, moving forward, 833-288-3986. Grab that open phone line there, and Grace is going to start us off, Debbie, in California, listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Grace. Glad you could join us today.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What would you like to share?
Well, so I've been doing a lot of reading about saints and in my, you know, kind of faith journey and so forth. And as I'm doing these readings of very holy, beautiful people, I'm starting to remember and recall more and more things from my youth that I regret. And I've tried, like, taking these things to confession. And the main thing that I hear from the priest is, you know, if it's bothering me today, you know, what is it about what's going on today that I, you know, would be needing to confess? And that, so I struggle with that because none of it is really relevant to me today. It's just memories that are coming up for me from the past that I don't know if I ever, I think I might have confessed, but I don't know if I ever did. And so I don't know what to do with that kind of unresolved sinfulness that I'm recalling.
Right. Okay, Grace, you're not alone. Last year, the same thing happened to me. Exactly. I was reading the different lives of the saints, and the same thing started happening to me. I started recalling things when I was a teenager. And so this is exactly what happened. I'll tell you, right, just similar to what happened with you. I went to confession and I said to Father, I said, listen, all these things are starting to pop up from like when I was 16, 17 years old. Can I just have like a reset? Can I just do like a lifetime confession? And then he proceeded to, for the next like 5 minutes, kind of, you know, scold me a bit, saying, are you scrupulous? You know, don't worry about it. You know, let it go, you know, and I didn't know what to do with that. So then I talked to another priest friend. He said, listen, just let's sit down for a few minutes. And so actually that's what I would suggest. Call your parish priest and make an appointment and sit down and share exactly what you're just saying right now, but not in the confessional time, because you can't really grasp your whole life in the confessional. But I mean, make an appointment, Grace, and you'll feel so much better. Because when I did and sat down with a priest, it was wonderful, because it took about 10 minutes and then we had confession, and it was like the slate was wiped clean and I walked out of there, you know, floating. So I don't know if that could help you, but I would highly recommend it.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
Yeah, and Grace, just I'll add this. Debbie was actually alluding to the fact that, you know, we can go into confession and have sort of a what they call it, a general confession, actually.
General confession.
So, you know, a lot of us have done this. And I would just say we all can – these things are going to pop up. And, yeah, it's a good thing to take them to confession when they do. We certainly can do that. But I would say if we do, there are a lot of things we're never going to, you know, remember that we have done. And I think, you know, the church only expects us, you know, to confess those things that we can remember, and just to be as honest as we can. But what you might want to do, Grace, like Debbie said, meet with a priest and just try to say, I want to get the slate clean. I want a general confession. Actually, I did this about 6 months ago. And it was,
I couldn't get one. You got a general. I couldn't get one.
Well,
he said no.
No, I asked a priest friend of mine to meet with him.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and
okay.
We spent about an hour together, and I made a list, and I just went down all kinds of things, Grace, that I remembered from way, way back, and even in the current, you know, most recent past, and it is really cleansing. You know, it really feels very, very good, and so I would definitely encourage you to maybe consider that, Grace. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds good. And I have had those type of discussions with priests, but not like in a focused, kind of structured way. And the other feedback that I got from our current pastor, who's just a lovely person, he's a wonderful priest, he asked me if there was some self-forgiveness that I needed to work on there, mm-hmm. more than, you know, forgiveness from God at this point, because I have confessed a lot of these things and to what I can remember in general terms. So he encouraged me to spend some time journaling and about self-forgiveness and making a list of all of those things, which I did. I just, you know, then, so that becomes then something I need to work on for myself and not so much maybe seek the confessional to do that.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense, Grace. And you know, and I want to thank the priest that helped me, because I can borderline a little bit scrupulous, which is the fear of sinning. And it's not healthy. It's not a good thing to fall into that. And one of the things he shared with me when he was talking to me, he said, you know, you don't want to constantly go over things over and over and over again, because you're trying so hard to be perfect. It's going to really kind of mess with your head. It's really going to mess with your head. Just do your best and let God do the rest and not worry about too many things and put it aside. Because if you focus in on zero in on every little thing, it's just going to really, disturb your peace and it's not going to help you with forward movement. So I don't know if that could help you as well. And the other thing I wanted to share too, Grace, real quickly. Jerry and I bring up this saint all the time, Blessed Bartolo Longo. Okay, read his story. Okay, if that should give anybody the you know, kind of encouragement, enthusiasm, and hope, motivation, yeah, to become a saint, this guy's story will, because he was everything but a saint, and now he is a saint. So what does that tell you? Mm-hmm. That just goes to show how God can transform a life. And how wonderful it is when people are open to God. So, wouldn't you agree with that, Jerry, about Blessed Bartolo Longo?
Yeah. I don't know all about him, but he was a high priest in a, you know, Wiccan, I don't want to
satanic,
say order.
Yeah
mm-hmm. satanic. He was a high priest.
Cult.
And
mm-hmm.
yeah, and they engaged in all sorts of horrible impurities that we can't mention on the show. And I think it was through the prayers of his dad that he actually got the grace to convert. So anyway, Grace, we're monopolizing your time here. Did you have anything else?
No, that's all. Thank you so much for taking
okay.
my call.
Thank you. Grace, you know what also comes to my mind, Debbie? Jesus
yes.
tells us to be like little children, okay? If there's a 4, 5, 6, 7, 10-year-old and they do something wrong, and when they, you know, hear, talk about it with mommy or daddy, and they say, you know, mommy, I'm sorry, daddy, I'm sorry. Do they hold on to that? No. You know, I mean, they just get up the next day and they probably have no recollection. Of it, because, you know, such a childlike approach to just being reconciled with self, being reconciled with God, maybe with the family. So, yeah, I think that's a good way to possibly look at that, is through the eyes of mm-hmm. a child.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you again, Grace. Love your name. I named everything. Everything in my life is named Grace. Even our beautiful Maltese is named Grace. Everything.
That's right.
Is, because you know why, Jerry? It's all about Grace.
It's all about Grace.
That's right. Okay, Jacqueline in San Antonio, Texas. Another first-time caller. You get the virtual bell, Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Jacqueline. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm a first-time caller, and I guess I'm calling, God, this is kind of embarrassing, but let me say it, I guess. I'm calling because I'm 48 years old and Catholic, and I have been pretty overprotected by my parents, and that's one of the reasons I still, you know, live at home and all these things. And I guess my regret is I probably should have become a lot more independent. And I think if I had become more independent and left home and all this, then I would be married with a family. And right now I'm 48 years old, and I wonder if I'm ever going to get married, if I'm going to have kids, because that's what I want, but I don't have that. So that's my regret right now.
Well, thank you, Jacqueline, for calling. We appreciate that. And I am 58 and never been married. And one of the things that kind of, well, there are several things I think I can attribute that to. Some, you know, personal issues and emotional, psychological issues and so forth. But also, you know, as you may or may not know, those who listen to the show often, they know that I spent a number of years in formation for the priesthood and kept discerning that for quite a long time after that. So it just basically turned out that here I am, 58 and unmarried. But I would just say, you know, God has a perfect plan for you, though, and, you know, he has allowed this to happen, and I think what might be helpful for you is if you just ask God, you know, what is your will for my life? And I'm sure you've done that before, but Debbie, 48 is absolutely not too late to find a spouse and be married. Perhaps, you know, childbearing might be not on the table there, but I just think that, you know, There is, we're talking about not looking back, Debbie, looking forward. And I think God would have something beautiful for Jacqueline, and maybe she just needs to press in prayer and find out what that is.
Absolutely. Jacqueline, I don't know if you, how long you've been listening to the show, Take Two, but I talk about it quite often, that I prayed for someone to come back, come into my life after I went through a horrific divorce. I went through the annulment process and everything, and which was quite an experience, and it was a wonderful growth experience for me. And then I prayed about it because I had been married for 20 years. I thought I was done. I had my kids, everything. So. And then I just prayed and I said, Lord, if you want another person to come into my life, and if you don't, that's fine. Okay. But if you do, this is what I would really like. And I would really want this. And well, the good Lord, he definitely produces, because I mean, to the letter, Marty fit the bill of the prayers. And so it was God's will. And then I knew it was right. So I would take it to prayer, very deep, intentional, detailed prayer, and see what the good Lord unfolds for you in your path. But don't, 48 is just a number, Jacqueline. It's just a number. I mean, you know, you've got so much more life ahead of you. So I don't know if that gives you hope or consolation today, but, you know, and kind of encouragement and a little bit of excitement about what God has planned for you. But we hope it does. What do you think?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, I've been praying for a few years now, but I guess because I really do want to become a mom, I mean, my clock is ticking, basically, so I guess that's kind of worrisome to me. But, yeah, I mean, I've been praying, but I guess I'll just go ahead and keep praying and see, hopefully, if God has someone perfect for me.
Yeah, and Jacqueline, nothing is impossible with God. And I remember when I was growing up, we lived in a small town of about 500 people, and there was no Catholic church. There was they called it the community church, so we went there for services occasionally. I didn't have a lot of religion in my upbringing, but the pastor and his wife, wonderful family, went to school with their kids, and at the age of 65, they had twins. And it was quite the talk of the town, you know. So we know in the Bible, what was it, Sarah gave birth at, what, 100 years old? So, you know, it's not impossible. You know, as unlikely as it may be, you know, Jacqueline and Debbie, it's not, nothing is impossible with God. And in the meantime, Jacqueline, maybe look up, research some of the saints who were unmarried, who were single, mm-hmm. And devoted their lives to God through works of mercy, through teaching others, through caring for the poor, visiting them visiting people in prison. There's so much you can be doing right now while God eventually, ultimately unveils the next thing he has for you.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Okay, Jacqueline, you take care. Call us again. Keep us posted. You could always email us, take2@ewtn.com. Now you got your whole the whole Take Two family praying with you, so God's going to move very quickly. We just know it. Real quickly, we're getting some text messages. Jerry saying, can you please just share, Blessed Bartolo Longo, yes, was a satanic priest and was converted, made a whole transformation through the rosary, Jerry. Through the rosary, through the prayers of the rosary, and he was beatified by John Paul II. So it's on the road to sainthood. Well, so Blessed Bartolo Longo. Check out the story, folks. It'll really make you realize we're all called to be saints. Right, Jerry?
Yeah, we look at our own lives, we look around today, and we think, gosh, there's no hope for me, or you may think there's no hope for that person or whatever, but there's hope for everyone. And we're talking about that today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Okay. And we're with you here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher with Debbie Georgiani. And hold on with your, we're going to get to more of your calls here in a few moments. 833-288-3986. And Debbie, when we talk about regrets, it doesn't have to be something messy, ugly. It could just be, you know, I regret I didn't get my degree. I regret that I didn't take this particular job. I regret that, you know, I had opportunities that God, you know, may have brought along my path and I didn't take them. Mm-hmm. And so we want to talk about kind of letting those things go and just, you know, moving on. And maybe you're holding these decisions against yourself. So that's what
God
we're trying
to. God doesn't want us stuck.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. In fact, do you mind if I read a quick email?
Please do. I think it's amazing email.
Yeah, here's the number too if you'd like to join us. 833-288-3986. People all over the world learn. Debbie and I learn. The show team learns when you call up with your takes and your lived experiences. And Tom sent us an email. That's at take2@ewtn.com. And I love this. This is going to be helpful for all those who have called today and who might be listening. Tom says, I have had so many things come back in my mind over and over again. I've confessed them. God's forgiven me. I could not figure out why I had them come back in my mind. Then around 2 years ago, I decided to give glory to God when these thoughts came back in my mind. I have peace in my mind now. So give glory to God when these thoughts come back to you. Hope this helps, Tom. That helps a lot.
Oh, that helps tremendously. Tom, that is exactly what this priest was talking to me about in the confessional about scrupulosity. He actually said that, Jerry. I forgot to mention that, and Tom mentioned it. He said, when you recall these things or they go over in your head over and over again, he says, thank God that you have been forgiven. You've been freed. Praise God. And you can, it's like a reframing, Jerry. So you would like that. Jerry, real quickly, if Jacqueline's still listening in San Antonio, Texas, look how the Take Two family is really stepping it up and already storming heaven for you, Jacqueline. Listen to this. You got a couple folks that weighed in and said, Jacqueline, pray to Saint Anne, Mary's mother, Saint Anne, pray to Saint Anne. Ask her to intercede on your behalf to, help you unfold the path for your life. Also too, Jacqueline, a lot of Take Two family members are saying already thank God. Okay. See, you said you've prayed for many years. Okay. So you're asking God and asking God now thank him. Okay. Cause he's hearing your prayers and he's working on it, whatever that may be. So thank him already. Another way of is just like Tom's email, you got to shift it around a little bit and be praising God and see what happens. See, it's already, I think it's already a nice forward movement, Jerry.
Well, we love, Debbie and I love so much about this show, and so does the show team, Rich and Jeff and Ryan and Michael McCall is screening calls today. But one of the things we love most is that you chime in not only with your calls on the show, but with your emails and your text messages and your comments on the show website. And it's just really, it's a learning experience for all of us as we move through each episode of the program. And I'm reminded too, what came to mind, Debbie, was Revelation chapter 12, and the first several verses of that talk about the great sign that appeared in heaven. It was the woman and the dragon, and we obviously see our Blessed Mother prefigured in that. But Revelation 12:10, and this is from the NIV. I pulled this up online real quick. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God for the authority of his and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers who accused them night and day before God has been cast out. Okay, so what Satan does, Debbie, is he tempts us, he puts things in front of us, and we say, no, I don't want that. And all of a sudden it looks alluring and beautiful. And so we decide to do that because it's veiled. You know, the sin or the mm-hmm. wrong decision is veiled somehow by how appealing it looks. And then all of a sudden, what does Satan do right after that? He turns around and he says, look what you just did. Mm-hmm. You know, and he has been cast out. So we need to remember that he is defeated. He is a defeated foe. And so we shouldn't get stuck on anything. Just turn to God and his mercy.
Right. There's plenty of time to weigh in on this discussion. Please don't hesitate any longer. If you feel prompted by the Spirit, Michael McCall is ready to answer your call at 833-288-3986. Please share your experience of this, your take on this. We need your wisdom. 833-288-3986. And Jerry, this may be turning into kind of morphing into a lesson on scrupulosity. Do you want to read Karen's email or can I read it? It's very good.
Yeah, please do. Go for it.
Okay. Karen weighed in. Thank you, Karen, so very much. She said, I used to be very scrupulous. I have a very hard time forgiving myself. I found two things that helped me move on out of that self-loathing. A prayer that I say when I think I might have done or said something to offend someone is, Dear Lord, please take my mistakes and use them for good. Then if I need to apologize, I do it right away. That is so important. So it's planning on getting, and I plan on getting to confession ASAP. The other thing I fall back on is the quote from St. Therese, the little flower. To live by love is to banish all fear, all remembrance of past faults. Karen, thank you. I'm so glad that you shared that. That could really help. You know, there's a lot of, I think, Jerry, just being Catholic in general, if we, you know, take our Catholicism seriously, I think sometimes all of us can kind of, you know, get right to the edge of scrupulosity sometimes because we don't want to sin. You know, we don't want to offend God, but yet it seems so easy for us to do that. So, right? So we have to figure out how to navigate through life in a healthy way and get on that road to sainthood.
Yeah, well, doing things wrong, I mean, it's what we do. St. Francis de Sales, I mentioned my spiritual reading right now is a book by Joseph Tiso that is mostly quotes from St. Francis de Sales and other saints and holy men and women. And he talks about we are going to have our imperfections with us until we breathe our last. It is simply the way it is. Can God, you know, bring about holiness within us? Yes. And St. Francis de Sales would insist that it is largely through our imperfections that God brings about our holiness. So keep that in mind. And we're talking today about regrets. Maybe you regret not having more children. Maybe you regret, you got a fork in the road and you decided, you know, to go one way instead of the other. So it's not just, you know, sinful things. It's just choices in life that we have made that, you know, maybe we wish it turned out a little bit differently. There's no reason to beat ourselves up over it, but sometimes we do. So let's have a conversation about that at 833-288-3986.
Jerry, can you share, I thought this was so great that Jane took an excerpt from St. Faustina's diary, and she, Jesus's words are in bold, and I think it could really help all of us and our listeners. Maybe if you could read that, since I just read Karen's email.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, just want to remind all of you who join us on the pilgrimage to the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, we're going to be in that area August 15th through 17th. Email us for information at take2@ewtn.com. But I mention it because our good friend at the Station of the Cross, Rick Paolini, Debbie, is going to supply everyone who joins us at the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy with a copy of the Diary of St. Faustina.
Yes.
And some other goodies as well. And Debbie and I might have a couple little things for you too, so we hope that you can join us. But yeah, Jane, you must love St. Faustina and her diary in Divine Mercy because you reference it a lot. So here we go. Hello, hi Jerry and Debbie. St. Faustina's diary entry and Jesus' words in bold. Okay, I'll mention when we get to the bold words. So paragraphs are number 628. But she entreated me with tears in her eyes to ask Jesus if he had forgiven her and whether her confessions had been good or not. I answered forcefully, "Ask him yourself, sister, if you don't believe your confessors." But she clutched my hand and did not want to let me go until I gave her an answer. And she kept asking me to pray for her and to let her know what Jesus would tell me about her. Crying bitterly, I'm not sure who she's talking about here, crying bitterly, she would not let me go and said to me, "I know what the Lord Jesus speaks to you, sister." Since she was clutching my hand and I could not wrench myself away, I promised her I would pray for her. Okay, and in the evening, during benediction, I heard these words in my soul. And these are the words of Jesus that St. Faustina heard in her soul. And these are in bold, the ones Jane wanted to point out. "Tell her that her disbelief wounds my heart more than the sins she committed. Tell her that her disbelief wounds my heart more than the sins she committed. When I told her this, she began to cry like a child, and great joy entered her soul. I understood that God wanted me to console this soul through me. Even though it cost me a good deal, I fulfilled God's wish." So I really believe that, Debbie. God is like any parent. Like I said earlier, no child, you know, if you tell mommy or daddy you're sorry, you don't get up the next day and say, "Mommy and daddy, I'm sorry for, you know, I mean, it's gone." You know, and God wants us to have that kind of childlike faith and belief that he is going to just, you know, forgive us for everything.
Very true. Very true. You know, I recall this wonderful Monsignor who worked at the Vatican for many years, and he's in our Diocese of Phoenix. And he used to say all the time, going back to scrupulosity, he said, you know, what's the best way to combat scrupulosity? Trust. It's all about trust. It's trust in God. And St. Faustina, you know, it teaches us so much. Jesus, I trust in you. And it really is that. And that's why I probably, that's why I say, Jesus, I trust in you a million times a day. You know, just trying to get myself in that pattern of constantly trusting and not worrying. Jerry, worrying is in my DNA. Okay. I'm Catholic. I'm 100% Sicilian. I came from New Jersey. I mean, we worry. Okay. And so I have to really work at trusting, okay? And I think I've gotten close to it, you know, in 53 years. So it's a lifetime of work, don't you think?
It is. That's the beautiful thing about this. It's not something we have to master by the time we're 21. It's not something we have to master by the time we're 30 or 40 years old. It is an ongoing. I was going to say struggle, but actually it can be a peace-filled, joy-filled excursion through life as well. And another thing I remember, one of my spiritual fathers, Debbie, said that I think it was St. Therese, a little flower, would say that, you know, she says, I don't point out my good deeds to God because that way he won't judge my bad deeds. See, if we say, oh God, we want to go down this road, God, let's talk about the deeds I've done. Look at all these great things, you know, and God could say, okay, that's a short list. Let me show you a long one.
Yeah.
You know, so she said, I don't tell God my good deeds because then he won't judge my bad deeds. You know, this is the kind of God we have.
Yeah. He's a great God, isn't he? He's such a great God. He's a big, bold God, and he's amazing. Okay, folks, there is plenty of time for you to get in on this. I know you're probably soaking it all up, what we're talking about, and sharing the quotes from saints and scripture passages, but we want to hear your experience of this. Could you help us out by calling this number? Do it quickly. Don't wait any longer. 1-833-288-3986. You can talk about past regrets, forgiveness. Maybe there's some clergy listening, some priests or deacons. Can you weigh in on this? Tell us if we're on or if we're spot on this topic, or we need to add something to it or kind of shift it a bit. We're willing to do whatever you think we should do. We just got a comment from Father John. Father John commented. I'm going to read. Yeah. See, he must be listening to the show. So we want to hear that, right, Jerry? If we're on target or not, because we want to walk away a little bit changed, a little bit closer to God, and a better understanding of ourselves.
And here's a question I wonder if anyone would like to participate and weigh in on. And I have a thought on this. I wonder if regrets or not, you know, having difficulty freeing ourselves from, you know, choices that we've made in the past. I wonder if it's, I don't want to say hereditary, but is it somehow maybe like a learned behavior from our family environments and our parents? And the reason I bring that up, Debbie, is my mother was such a worrier, and I know she was very much at peace with God when she died, and, you know, good relationship with the Lord and the church, and had a very strong faith and devotional life. But I just know that she was a woman of great worry, and I know that she carried a lot of things through her life. And, you know, when you're raised with somebody like that, it's not always. I'm not painting with a universal brush here. I'm simply maybe referring only to my own experience. But I've carried around some of this, and I've gotten over a lot of it too. But I realize, you know, where did some of this come from? It's not all my mom's fault. I'm not laying the blame at her feet. But I'm just saying that I think some of the conditions that we find ourselves in from the earliest ages until the present time are also contribute to that. And it could be the other way around, too. We could learn a great deal of self-forgiveness from others in our lives as well.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Okay, ask and you shall receive. I asked for a clergy to weigh in, and Father John did weigh in on our topic today. And he says, I want to comment on your topic for today. Thank you, Father. He says, when I feel really tempted and motivated to do things I should not do, I pray, Dear Lord, I choose you, the whole Trinity, and the Blessed Mother and the saints in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for always forgiving my weakness. Wow. Thank you, Father John. You are so awesome for sharing that. You're right. You know, that's what we need to, and it's kind of a reframing, like what you always talk about, Jerry, not to always just kind of beat ourselves up, but to kind of make it something that can be productive and helpful in our spiritual journey.
Absolutely, you know, and we can move on. We can look back if there's something that is weighing you down or has been. Maybe you've gotten past it by now, but we can look back and say, okay, here's another thing that this spiritual father of mine said, that Saint Therese also says, And he said that she, or he said that God, what? How did he put it? St. Therese said God has two weaknesses or two deficiencies. One, he's blind, and two, he doesn't do math. St. Therese said these things.
Okay.
He's blind. He has a blind eye to our sins. Not ultimately, but when we forgive, they're absolutely gone. But he doesn't count. He doesn't pile up the sins and count them over and over again in our lives. So, so much we can learn from the saints, and that kind of trust. I mean, the saints had that. Many people on earth do, Debbie as well, have mm-hmm. that kind of intimate relationship with Jesus, where they can just come before Him in all of our misery and just say, Lord, you know. Another thing St. Therese says is, you know, Lord, please make good all the things I've made bad in the past
right.
in my life. Yeah, because
right.
one of the reasons we carry regrets, Debbie, and can't forgive ourselves is we think, oh, so much damage was done, or you know, I really injured or offended somebody. You know what? God can take care of that, even if it was 50 years ago,
mm-hmm.
if we let Him.
Yep. Amen to that. Dave in Colorado on Catholic Radio Network, also a first-time caller. Thanks for joining us, Dave, and welcome to Take Two.
You're welcome. Glad to be here. About 6 months ago, I got something that's been nagging me for 60 years, put to rest by a very good priest. To explain the story, I was 4 in a farmyard. And my little brother was 18 months old, and we had a delivery to the house. My mother asked if I had closed the gate, and I said yes, I was playing. The gate wasn't closed, and my little brother got out, was run over. I picked him up, and Mom met me in the yard, and it's kind of an emotional tale, but he died. And the family, I have such a good family, no one ever mentioned a word all the years. About 30 years ago, before my mother died, she found out I remembered, and she just gasped. Well, I look back in my life, and I see shame moving myself this way and that way. And about 6 months ago, I visited with a very good priest, and explained the story, and he told me that shame does not come from God, and it just put that whole thing to rest.
Wow. Well, Dave, it took a while, but thanks be to God, you got that insight from that priest. And yeah, I mean, there's a healthy shame that kind of keeps us, you know, coloring between the lines, so to speak. But the shame that we often apply to ourselves over things that, you know, doesn't have our name on it, God doesn't want us to carry that around. Thanks be to God, Dave, that you came to that, you know, got that breakthrough, if you will. And it reminds me, Dave and Debbie, of Gal I went to college with, and several years later, she got married and they were raising a family. And she thought all the kids were in the minivan or something, and she started to back up. And, you know, obviously she felt something and heard something, and one of her children had died. And I never did talk to her. I heard about this, you know, through other people. But, you know, it's so very tragic. But, Debbie, when it's not, you know, it's absolutely not something intentional. But still, that weight can be around our neck for so many years, like in Dave's case. And thanks be to God,
yeah.
He got over it, yeah.
Dave, I know it. You said it took 60 years, but as you were speaking, I had two boys, and I was thinking back of how many times I had my older one take care of my younger son, and that same feeling came over me, like, you know, what if, God forbid, something happens to my younger one while he's in the care? You know, how is that going to scar my older one? And I just think of you as 4 years old having to carry that weight for your baby brother, and I just think that is... It's heartbreaking because, you know, it was an accident and yet you carried that your whole entire life. And I wish you could have been freed of that earlier, but thank God you were freed of it after 60 years. Thank God, because, that's something that you should never have had to carry. And so I just wanted to say my heart breaks for you, because that's a lot to put on a little 4 year old. And I thank you for sharing it. Can you share with us now, being freed of that, how has that changed your life now? Because that's really, when you get freed of something like that, now the doors fly open, Dave.
Well, I can see what shame has done. I can also see how good God is, and He had never left me. Thank God I never left Him. So things work out, and it's never too late.
That's right.
Well, and I can't help but think, Dave, your brother was probably praying for this breakthrough in your life, you know, because he saw you from heaven, God willing, you know, and just saw that this was paining you and you were carrying it around. And undoubtedly, he had a little hand, no pun intended, a little hand in helping this to come about in your life. So beautiful, Dave. Any other final thoughts you want to share, Dave?
On a good note, I prayed to my little brother during Lent a couple years ago, and it was probably the best Lent I've ever had.
Aww.
So, good deal. We tell he's a saint, so there's a good ending.
Can you share your little brother's name, his first name?
It was Tim. Timmy.
Tim. Aww. Beautiful. Well, we're happy for you, Dave, that you're at this point in your life where it's just now you're free of that. And Jimmy, like you said, you know, you had a great Lent, you know, praying to Jimmy. And I just think that that's beautiful. And he's never far away. We just think they are, but they're never far away. So Dave, thank you so much for sharing that today. I think it's helped a lot of souls today.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave, for joining us. Mary, hang on. We're going to get to you. I just want to mention one of the best publications for our Catholic faith to bolster it and to get the news through it's the good, bad, and the ugly about the news, but it comes to us through a Catholic lens. And, of course, they have inspirational pieces and stuff to uplift us in our faith. It's National Catholic Register, published by EWTN. And they have a 6 free issue trial thing going on right now. So you really can't go wrong. If you like it after the 6 weeks of 6 free issues, you can subscribe at 35% off the newsstand price. So go to ncregister.com and you can get details about that.
Okay. I had my mic down. Sorry.
Yeah,
Mary,
okay.
In Illinois, EWTN app. Another first-time caller. Hi, Mary. Thanks. Welcome.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call, and thank you for this beautiful show. I'm sure it will be an encouragement to many. I'd like to say one word of encouragement to Jacqueline from earlier in your show. I'm just driving home from a weekend where I celebrated a bridal. Hopefully the only time. But there, and we all know beautiful stories like that. So with your other listeners, I'll be praying for Jacqueline. My own, the reason I called was at the very beginning of the show, you mentioned, you asked, why is it we sometimes find it so challenging not to be preoccupied by regret? I think one reason is a very practical one, and I don't think it makes us scrupulous. Often, if we're long enough, if God gives us the gift of living a long life, something we do regret and something we've confessed from years ago, in my case, 25 years ago, if we're given the gift of a long life and with maturity, one of the gifts, I'll call it a gift, that we often receive is the ability, God gives us the grace, perhaps, to see some of the effects of our sin. So we may have confessed the sin years ago, but the effects of that sin can continue. And though I agree, certainly, that God wouldn't want us to be mired in regret, if we may witness more sadness that comes from that original sin. And I think that's one reason regrets can be so, can keep us held. And I will look forward to hearing your comments on that. And thank you.
Go ahead, Deb.
I was just going to say, as you were speaking, I'm so glad you shared it, Mary, because I was thinking that you kind of can live out some of your purgatory here by seeing the consequences of sin. And so, I mean, wouldn't we rather live out our purgatory here? I mean, we all want a straight shot to heaven. We don't want to have to detour, right, to purgatory. So I'm glad you shared that aspect, Mary, because I think with spiritual maturity and growing and living a long life, yeah, we can look back and review, do a life review right here on earth, and we can see everything. And I think it could be beneficial. Yeah, I agree with you, Mary. I think that's a wonderful take. What do you think,
yeah,
Jared?
Well, yeah, every sin is an offense against God. And so the word that's coming to my mind as we listen to Mary is contrition. You know, this is, we have to have, you know, what do they say in confession? You know, we have to have, you know, true contrition. And this absolutely will build up through our entire lives, Mary. And I'm reminded of something, a thought that came to me years ago. I don't know if I read it somewhere, but if we are faced with a choice, we can sin or not sin. Well, by sinning, obviously we offend God, and in a way, that is added to the suffering that Jesus went through in his passion and death. But I believe the reverse, the converse of that is true as well. And Debbie, if we're faced with the temptation, we say, "At this, I'm not going to commit this sin. I'm going to resist this. I'm going to turn away from this." In a certain sense, we have saved Jesus a little bit of suffering, or lessened his suffering a little bit, even though obviously he took on the whole weight of the world for all of human history. But maybe if we think about it that way, you know, mm-hmm. just picture Jesus on the cross and say, you know, I can make a choice right now to show him mercy by lessening his suffering or not adding this sin to that suffering. So, yeah, beautiful take, Mary. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mary. Safe driving. It sounds like you're driving. Leslie, we couldn't get to you in Texas on Guadalupe Radio. Please email us. We want to hear all about your story about regrets. Take2@EWTN.com and the others. Sorry we can't get to you, but tomorrow we have another show planned for you. We're talking about if you feel, can the church embrace you? Do you feel the church can embrace you? We're going to be talking about that and how you fit into the church. I think it's going to be an interesting discussion, Jerry.
Yeah, do you feel marginalized in some way, or that Jesus wouldn't accept you in the church? So talk about that tomorrow on Take Two. Have a beautiful and blessed day.